Hello, this is Donna, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from the weekend edition of the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. The next round of Grow New York opens with $3 million for startups. Empire State Development has opened applications for the eighth round of Grow New York, a competition offering $3 million in prizes for food and agricultural startups willing to establish operations in upstate New York. The application window runs through 5 p.m. May 15th. Up to 20 finalists from around the world will compete for prize money ranging from $250,000 to $1 million, with winners required to commit to making a positive economic impact in the 22-county region spanning central New York, the Finger Lakes, and the Southern Tier. Seven winners will split the $3 million purse. One grand prize winner will receive $1 million, two will get $500,000 each, and four more will win $250,000 in prize money. More information is available at grow-newyork.com. The competition has demonstrated strong results since launching in 2019. The 49 winning companies have created hundreds of jobs and raised more than $127 million in follow-on funding. 40 of those companies remain operational in the region. Finalists will participate in a business development accelerator, receiving mentorship from industry experts and introductions to potential regional partners and investors. Later this year, they will present their business plans in a pitch competition. Startups focused on food and agricultural innovation are encouraged to apply, including those working on production, processing, distribution, ag tech, climate resilience, workforce solutions, and related sectors. The first seven rounds attracted more than 1,800 applicants from 44 states and 95 countries. In 2025, 46% of applicants included a female founder, and 74% included a founder from a historically underinvested background. Former SU athlete reunites with her family after ICE detention, by Greta Stuckey. Former Syracuse University basketball player John Bol Ajak has returned to South Sudan after spending more than a month in U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement custody. Ajak, 26, who had been living in Syracuse, agreed to a deportation order on April 2nd during a virtual immigration court hearing. Ajak told the Post Standard / Syracuse.com that he had safely arrived home and shared photos of himself smiling in a suit alongside his mother at his uncle's wedding. Ajak said he is staying at his father's compound in Juba, the capital of South Sudan. He said ICE transported him from Pennsylvania to Washington, D.C., where he boarded a flight to Ethiopia before arriving in South Sudan around April 18th. "I don't have victim mentality. I just look at this as freedom in disguise," Ajak said in a phone call regarding his deportation. "You know, east or west, home is best. That's all I felt. I have no regrets about my experience in America." He said he had not seen his family in about 12 years since coming to the United States, so the past few weeks have felt like a dream. He said he spent time with his siblings and cousins and wakes up every morning to have breakfast with his father. For the next few weeks, Ajak said he plans to focus on family time and rest. After that, he hopes to return to philanthropy and help children in South Sudan access education and opportunities to travel to the United States, like he did. From the police and fire blotter, man dies after possible electrocution while painting. Police say a 43-year-old man was killed Thursday while using a lift to paint a house in the 200 block of Martin Luther King West when he accidentally struck an active power line, according to Kieran Coffey, a spokesperson for the Syracuse Police Department. Officers found him dead from possible electrocution when they arrived. The incident did not appear criminal in nature. It was unclear how the equipment the man was using, a boom lift from Taylor Rental, came into contact with those live wires. First responders were sent at 3:15 to the residence, according to Onondaga County 911 Center dispatches. Firefighters and National Grid workers lowered the basket in which the man remained shortly after 4 p.m. The man reportedly came into contact with primary electrical wires outside the home. Primary lines are higher voltage located at the top of utility poles above the transformers. The typical primary voltages exceed 4,000 volts. Please ask anyone with information to contact the Syracuse Police Department Criminal Investigations Division at 315-442-5222. In Camillus, police on a mental health check find a house ablaze. They found a Camillus resident Friday morning with a house on fire. The officers who arrived first at the home on Terrace Way rescued a woman from the burning house, said Captain James Nightingale, a spokesperson for Camillus Police. No one was hurt in the fire, Nightingale said. The woman was taken for a medical evaluation. She was the only one inside. The officers arriving first on scene found heavy fire in the front. They found the woman in the back of the home and took her to safety. By the time the firefighters arrived, the blaze had become more intense and spread from the front of the house up into the attic, said Jake Carlson, chief of the Fairmount Fire Department. Firefighters extinguished the bulk of the fire before noticing it had intensified into the attic. They cut holes in the roof to get access and used ladders to get on top of the one-story home. The house suffered intensive damage and is uninhabitable, and two cats were also rescued. One police officer suffered minor smoke inhalation but was not taken to the hospital. Onondaga County fire investigators work with Camillus Police and the Fairmount Fire Department for a cause, said Nightingale, which has not been released at this time. In local sports news, Syracuse East hands Oneida its first loss of the season. The undefeated Oneida Flag football team hosted Syracuse East on Thursday evening. Syracuse East came away with a 25-6 win, handing the Express their first loss of the season. Syracuse East has now won four in a row against Oneida. Syracuse East senior quarterback Takai Baker was 10 of 14 on completions for 162 yards and two touchdowns. On the ground, Baker ran for 43 yards and a score on nine carries. Camille Martin had five receptions for 55 yards and a touchdown. Junior Legacy Huggins finished with two catches for 53 yards and a score. Also for Syracuse East, freshman Ryshawn Turk recorded four receptions for 67 yards. Juniors Elanis Pizarro and Deshanelis Cruz had six flag poles. Junior Zania Williams chipped in an interception. This is girls flag football. In high school girls lacrosse, CBA edged out Marcellus in a high-scoring league matchup by Kevin Smith. Christian Brothers Academy girls lacrosse team is adjusting to a new OHSL division this season. CBA was in the OHSL American division last season, which included West Hill, Homer, Chittenango, Mexico, and Cortland. This season, CBA is in the OHSL Liberty 1 division with West Hill, Skaney Atlas, and Marcellus. CBA faced Marcellus on the road Thursday evening, and the matchup didn't disappoint. CBA fended off a relentless Mustang squad for a 16-15 win. Following the game, CBA coach Pat Britton's first response was, "Phew! For whatever reason, that's always a tough place to play for us," Britton added. "A road win in this league, a new league at that, we'll take it, even if it isn't always the prettiest drawn-up victory." CBA led 11-7 at the half. In the third period, Marcellus scored four straight goals to tie it at 11-all. In the fourth period, CBA went up 15-12, but the Mustangs cut it to 15-14. CBA's defense, however, kept Marcellus's attack in check to hold on to the lead. CBA sophomore Ryan Murphy tied her career high with seven goals. She also had an assist, two ground balls, three draw controls, and a forced turnover. "I feel like Ryan's been doing that stuff for 5 years," Britton said. "It's hard to believe sometimes she's only a sophomore. She's so dynamic coming in from different spots in the field, scoring and feeding and transitioning the ball and on the circle. She was super efficient like she is every night. She is huge for us defensively and offensively. She is huge for us offensively, and I couldn't be happier for her." Sloan Mesa finished with four goals and an assist for CBA. Emery McCartney provided two goals and an assist and three ground balls. Caroline Wilson added 14 draw controls, while Annalise Whalen had a goal and five draw controls. Adele Summer chipped in a goal and an assist. "I think there were a couple of things that clicked for us," Britton said. "The big thing was Caroline Wilson on the draw. Even if Marcellus went on a little run, we knew they were just going to go on more runs. We just knew it was coming and we had to sustain it. We're going to get opportunities to get the ball back, with how well we're doing on the draws, it wasn't a tidal wave where a four-goal lead turns into a four-goal deficit. I think we had faith in what we were doing on the draw and some of the big ground balls we were getting. Emmy McCartney was a huge all night, getting us extra possessions and a couple of ground balls toward the end, and then our defense made the stops when we needed to. Marcella Senior, Cece Powell, finished with 9 goals, including the 400th of her career. Powell also had 7 ground balls, 2 draw controls, and 6 forced turnovers. Also for the Mustangs, Charlotte Lawrence had 2 goals, 3 assists, and 4 ground balls. Piper Van Deerhoff finished with 2 goals, 4 assists, and 7 draw controls. And Avery Shute added a goal, 4 ground balls, and 3 draw controls, and a forced turnover. CBA hosts Our Lady of Mercy this weekend. "I love where we're at," Britton said. "I think that knowing that this new league schedule we've got this year, having to play Marcellus, Skinny Atlas, and West Hill all twice, we knew it was going to be a really challenging season. I think we've laid out the schedule in a manner that looks like it feels we're going to be peaking at the right time. It feels like we're heading in the right direction, and everything that we're doing is getting better at the right time once sectionals get here." In hockey news, Pelletier leads the Crunch into pivotal Game 3 by Aiden Stepanski. The Syracuse Crunch franchise has existed for over 30 seasons. In the 2025-26 campaign, forward Jacob Pelletier became the second Crunch player to lead the American Hockey League in points. The 25-year-old recorded 77 points in 63 games with Syracuse. After the Crunch, the affiliate of the Tampa Bay Lightning, split the first 2 games of the North Division semifinals with the Cleveland Monsters, the Columbus Blue Jackets affiliate, they returned home to Syracuse on Friday for a pivotal Game 3 in the best-of-5 series. Pelletier has been a consistent spark for the Crunch all season, resulting in 3-point performances in Game 2 to help Syracuse pass Cleveland at 4-1. As he continues to develop his game in hopes of a consistent return to the NHL, the Crunch will need him to perform at his best to conquer the Calder Cup. "I played in the NHL 50 games last year and came back to the AHL this year with a mindset to not be just a good player, but an effective player each night," Pelletier said. Pelletier's 5-year professional career has taken him through 3 NHL franchises, and along the way he's faced injury challenges and inconsistent playing time. The mixed bag of experiences has allowed him to break out with Syracuse. Out of Quebec City, Pelletier developed into a first-round pick in the 2019 NHL entry draft by the Calgary Flames. With Calgary's franchise, Pelletier split time multiple seasons between the Calgary Wranglers of the AHL and the Flames. He carved out a role in the professional level as an undersized forward with elite passing and vision. That skill set has carried him through his career as he's tallied 49 assists with the Crunch this season. Following limited time with the Flames and an upper body injury in the 23-24 season, Pelletier was traded to the Philadelphia Flyers in January of 25 and that included Cicero native Joel Farabee. Pelletier played 25 games for the Flyers but didn't receive a qualifying offer, which allowed him to sign a 3-year contract with the Lightning as an unrestricted free agent. Crunch general manager and head coach Joel Bouchard said that, despite limited success entering this season, Pelletier has always proven to be a good hockey player. Though where the two saw he must improve to become a consistent contributor at the highest level is in the details of his game. Pelletier has contributed in all facets for the Crunch to shore up his game. On the power play, he led the AHL with 31 points. On the penalty kill, Pelletier also led the league with 5 shorthanded goals. Pelletier said that with every opportunity, plus Bouchard's help, he's received more opportunities to make plays with the puck. He's also received an opportunity to play 5 games for Tampa Bay this season. "He's got an arsenal in his game already. He's worked on everything that will make him successful for the next level because the goal for him is to be an NHL player." Veteran defenseman Steve Santini said Pelletier's energy on and off the ice ignites the Crunch's locker room daily. He added that the 5'10" Pelletier still carries the physical defensive style that Bouchard instills. Bouchard sees Pelletier's desire to have the puck and his passion for the sport as his number one quality. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Service. While you might be hearing this after the Kentucky Derby runs on Saturday, let's talk a little bit about the field of horses. According to Stephen Wino of the Associated Press, there are no clear favorites and plenty of contenders. The chaos at the start of the Kentucky Derby sometimes decides the most exciting 2 minutes of sports in a matter of seconds. 20 horses bursting out of the starting gate to varying degrees of success makes it a mad dash to the turn. Calling the race on television for NBC, Larry Colmus typically focuses on the favorite, and this year that will present a challenge. "I don't know who the favorite's going to be," Colmus said. "I guess we'll find out. It's wide open this year." Todd Pletcher-trained Renegade opened as the favorite, but could it just easily be Brad Cox's Commandment or Further Ado or Bill Mott's Chief Wallaby by the time the field of 20 leave the gate? The first leg of the Triple Crown is so wide open that at least a half dozen horses have a legitimate chance to win the 152nd running of the Kentucky Derby. "There's a lot of different ways you could go if you were handicapping this race," said Chad Brown, trainer of Emerging Market. "You could really make an argument at this point for maybe half the horses in the field if they ran their very, very, very best race and had a good trip that could win this race." So we're looking at Renegade, Cox Trio, but no super horse. There's no super horse in the field capable of sweeping the Triple Crown like Justify did in 2018 and America Pharoah in 2015. "There is by no means an American Pharoah in here, at least up to this point going into the race," said Brown. "Now, whoever wins this race and goes on, maybe one emerges and turns into one of the best three-year-olds in the last 3 years. Who knows?" For World Cup news, fans still have a shot at tickets if they can't afford them. Tickets for the most of the World Cup group games remain on general sale with just over a month to go until the tournament kicks off on June 11th. But prices are crazy, topping out at $4,000 for the U.S. opening game against Paraguay in L.A., and many costing around $2,000. That is an expensive hobby to support. I don't think I'll be going to that. How about you? Looking ahead to weather for the week, it looks like these temperatures we're having this weekend that are a little on the chilly side will warm up into more seasonable temperatures coming this week. Mondays should be in the 60s with some scattered showers. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, light showers and isolated storms in the 60s, but temperatures at night will warm up, stay into the 50s. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, some light showers likely in the 60s. Thursday, a little cooler, highs only in the mid-50s, and the same with Friday. We do have a chance of precipitation every day. Around the region, Albany has been staying in the 50s and 60s. In Elmira, a little cooler in the lower 50s. In Lake Placid, they're expecting lower temperatures to stay in the area with 50s and high 40s. And then in Watertown, same deal, temperatures hanging in the 50s. Let's check temperatures around the country. In Anchorage, they're in the same ballpark as we are with temperatures in the mid-40s. Houston is in the high 60s to low 70s. In Nashville, low 70s. And in San Francisco, in the 60s. And around the world, oh, Acapulco never disappoints. They're actually in the 90s and will cool down to maybe the 70s this week. In London, mid-70s. In Paris, mid-70s. And in Tokyo, same story. From the business section, Ella Chan, Elizabeth Duran, and Kelly Corbett have contributed these stories. From a pop-up in the Emerson to a pink house in Skinny Atlas, Kirstie Phillips is opening a new storefront for her retail brand, Pink Bronco. Pink Bronco, a Western-themed retail clothing store, will open at 19 Fennel Street in Skinnyapolis on May 16th. "I'm excited for everyone to see it," said Phillips. The company also hosts popular patch bar and hat bar experiences where customers can customize their clothing with friends and family. "In the retail industry, people are really looking for an experience," Phillips said. "You're not just getting the item, you're getting the memories that come with it." The patch bar has cloth patches of Syracuse and Central New York symbols, such as Otto the Orange, the Finger Lakes, Tipperary Hills, Upside Down Traffic Light, and more. Phillips credits much of Pink Bronco's success to collaborations with local businesses such as the 1911 Established and Tim's Pumpkin Patch, where they've held pop-up hat bars. Syracuse is really lucky, Phillips said. I do a lot of travel through the United States, and you know it's not a lot of cities that have local community businesses like we have. Pink Bronco had a quick journey from pop-up to a full storefront. The first full year of business was 2025 after Phillips had moved back to Syracuse. She was born and raised in Central New York, but spent 11 years working corporate retail in Los Angeles. In March 22, she was diagnosed with stage 3C breast cancer. For more than a year, she underwent aggressive treatments, including 6 months of chemotherapy and multiple surgeries, all away from her family in Syracuse. At that point, I was going through a lot emotionally, Phillips said. It was one of those moments where you just start reflecting on life. Phillips moved back to Syracuse in 2023 to be closer to her family. She said her parents are her biggest cheerleaders. The Pink and Pink Bronco refers to her journey overcoming breast cancer, and she is now 3 years in remission. Why not create something in the city that I've been linked to my whole life, Phillips said. It's more importantly that I have this really big support system here as well. Smoky Bones Bar and Fire Grill on Route 31 in Clay has closed abruptly, customers and an employee said. The restaurant at 4036 Route 31 in Clay has been in operation since at least 2008. Numerous Smoky Bones across the nation reported they have closed. The casual dining barbecue chain had about 120 restaurants nationwide and started closing restaurants in 2025. It now has restaurants mostly on the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic areas. Smoky Bones started in 1996. After more than 40 years of operation, a popular clothing and footwear retail store is closing. J. Michael Shoes, a longtime fixture on Marshall Street near Syracuse University, is closing at the end of May, store employees said. The store was acquired by Street Game Sneakers, a chain of sneaker stores, in December of 2024. Street Game Sneakers has a store in Destiny, USA. Jonathan Pagan, assistant manager of the Destiny Street Game, said J. Michael's lease is up at the end of May, and that's why it's closing. Street Game is looking for another spot in the Syracuse area, Pagan said. J. Michael Shoes is the successor to Townsend Shoes, which began in the early 1970s on Salina Street in downtown Syracuse. That store closed in 1982, and J. Michael opened the following year with a focus only on women's shoes. John Vavallo, the owner at the time, named the store after his son, who was born in 1982. The shop has been at the same spot near SU since 1983 when it expanded from 600 square feet to more than 3,000 square feet. Two retailers with a history of financial troubles are coming together to reclaim their place on High Street. According to Retail Brew, Bed Bath & Beyond Incorporated will purchase the Container Store for $150 million, a move that signals major comeback for both brands. The deal adds approximately 100 physical stores to the Bed Bath & Beyond portfolio, along with the Container Store's Alpha and Closet Works brands. Bed Bath & Beyond, which now operates primarily online, plans to convert these new Container Store locations into a co-branded The Container Store / Bed Bath & Beyond store. These joint stores will expand beyond traditional offerings to offer flooring, lighting, and cabinetry for kitchens, bathrooms, and laundries. Bed Bath & Beyond CEO Marcus Lemonis noted in a shareholder's letter that this acquisition is a critical step in addressing gaps in both of our retail and home service strategy. This deal is a massive turnaround from just a couple years ago. In 2024, Bed Bath & Beyond took a look at the Container Stores but decided to walk away, citing worries about the leadership and shaky finances. The Container Stores subsequently filed for bankruptcy in late 2024, eliminating $88 million in debt during its restructuring and exited bankruptcy procedure just over a year ago. Lemonis admitted that seeing the company's comeback is what changed his mind. He praised the brand's strong equity and specifically the staff's dedication to their customers. This purchase follows Bed Bath & Beyond's $40 million deal for Kirkland Homes in late 2024, which added more than 230 stores to the company's growing platform. Between the two deals, Bed Bath & Beyond is rapidly building its physical footprint in now 330 stores. The strategy is set, Lamona's further wrote, and now it's about the execution, integrating these businesses, unlocking their full potential, and delivering measurable results. An indoor golf simulator and hospitality chain has announced plans to open a location in Verona near the Turning Stone Resort Casino. The Bunker will occupy the former Recovery Sports Grill building, a site that became vacant after the restaurant shut its operations March 15th after 17 years in business. Construction is expected to begin soon, according to the company. It will be the eighth store in upstate New York. There are others in New Hartford, Clifton Park, Gilderland, Latham, Schenectady, North Greenbush, and Saratoga Springs. Co-founder Troy Miller is using the expansion to prepare for more aggressive growth through franchising, with an ultimate goal of establishing hundreds of stores across the country, according to Albany Business Review. Each Bunker store has TrackMan golf simulator technology along a full-service bar and a restaurant. Turning Stone Enterprises CEO Ray Hallbritter said that he welcomed the addition to the local landscape, stating the project is a prime example of investment momentum that has driven growth in the region for more than 30 years. In e-commerce news, Amazon looks to launch drone deliveries from its Clay Distribution Center by Rick Moriarty. Amazon could soon be adding to the Syracuse area as it's a growing list of communities where it uses drones to deliver products in as little as 1 to 2 hours. The e-commerce giant has notified the town of Clay it intends to submit an amended site plan application to allow its distribution center in Morgan Road to accommodate drone delivery operations. The company will hold a community information session on its Amazon Prime Air drone delivery service from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday at the Inspire Innovation Hub, 235 Harrison Street in Syracuse. People interested in attending can RSVP online at amazondronedeliverymeeting.splashthat.com. In addition, Amazon plans to display one of its delivery drones at Center State CEO's Innovation Night event Thursday at the Marriott Syracuse downtown. Deputy Town Supervisor Joe Bick said Amazon notified the town of the May 6 information session this past Tuesday. He said he has no more details about the drone service, including when it would start. The town will hold a public hearing on the company's amended site plan application when it is received. Amazon did not respond to a request for comment. Amazon opened the 3.8 million square foot distribution center in 2022. It employs more than 3,000 people. Amazon ships more than 30,000 products daily from the facility, one of the largest warehouses in the country. Amazon now delivers by drone in 8 communities around the country, none of them in New York. In Phoenix, Pontiac, Michigan, San Antonio, Richardson, Texas, Ruskin, Florida, Hazel Park, Michigan, Waco, Texas, and Kansas City, Kansas. According to its website, drone delivery service is planning to start soon in Houston, Chicago, Cleveland, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Amazon said its Prime Air service is ultra-fast, with delivery of small items as little as 1 to 2 hours. The company uses battery-powered autonomous drones that can fly more than 200 feet high and reach speeds of more than 70 miles per hour. It can deliver by drone within 7 to 8 mile radius of an Amazon facility. So this is how it works. Amazon drones deliver products of up to 5 pounds. It says it has more than 60,000 products right now that are eligible for drone delivery. Customers can select drone delivery during their checkout. Amazon members who have Prime Amazon pay a drone delivery charge of $4.99. Non-Prime members will pay $9.99 for the service. Drone delivery is only available during the day and in favorable weather conditions. You can, however, shop outside of service hours or during unfavorable delivery conditions for next day drone delivery. The drone will fly to the designated delivery location, check for obstacles, descend, and release the package. Customers select from up to 3 possible delivery points to show an aerial shown on an aerial image of their property. And no, you don't have to be home, but Amazon asks that people, pets, vehicles, and objects taller than 5 feet, including plants, are at least 10 feet away from the estimated delivery point. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. From our Savings Angel column by Josh Elledge, summer travel has a way of sneaking up on people. One minute it's spring, the next you're looking at flights, hotels, or rental prices that feel a lot higher than you expected. And that's because once demand ramps up, the prices tend to follow. The good news is you don't have to cancel your plans or overspend. A little strategy and timing makes a big difference in what you end up paying. So let's walk through some practical ways to keep your summer travel costs under control. 1, book earlier than you think you need to. One of the biggest mistakes travelers make is waiting too long. As summer approaches, prices for flights, hotels, and rental cars climb as the availability tightens. You don't need to book everything months in advance, but if you know your general travel window, it's worth locking in some key pieces now rather than later. Flexibility is one of the most powerful tools you have. Even shifting your trip by a day or two can give you some noticeable savings. If you can, travel midweek instead of over the weekend, or choose early morning or late evening flights, often resulting in lower prices. The more rigid your schedule, the more you're going to pay for it. Popular destinations tend to charge higher prices during the summer. Beaches, major cities, and well-known tourist spots are in high demand. But that doesn't mean you have to avoid travel altogether. Just be open to some alternatives. Some nearby destinations, smaller towns, or less crowded regions can offer similar experiences at a lower cost. Keep an eye on your lodging options. Hotels aren't the only option, and they're not always the most affordable. Depending on your group size and travel style, you can get vacation rentals, extended stay options, or try to stay with friends or family and reduce your costs. If you're booking a hotel, compare prices across multiple sites and check for direct booking deals. Some properties offer discounts or perks when you directly book through them than rather through a third party. When it comes to airfare, how you shop matters as much as how you travel. Start by using tools like Google Flights to compare prices across multiple airlines and dates. That allows you to track the routes, see the price trends, and spot cheaper travel days at a glance. And again, generally midweek purchases, especially Tuesdays or Wednesdays, offer more stable pricing, while booking midweek flights is cheaper than weekend travel. And flexibility is key here. Travel costs don't stop at the base price. You got to watch for those hidden fees like baggage fees, seat selection charges, resort fees, and parking costs. Before you book, look at the total price, not just the advertised price. If you have travel rewards, this is a good time to use them. Flights, hotels, even rental cars can be booked with points, reducing your out-of-pocket costs. One of the easiest ways to overspend is leaving everything unplanned. Meals, activities, transportation costs will add up quickly if you're making those decisions on the fly. You don't need a rigid itinerary, but kind of have a general plan. Look up a few affordable dining options, free or low-cost activities, and transportation choices before you go. Even setting a rough daily spending target helps you stay aware without feeling restricted. If prices feel high across the board, considering how you travel rather than skipping it entirely. You can take shorter trips, go for fewer nights, or drive instead of fly to reduce your costs. Even spacing out your travel over the summer instead of taking one large trip can make it more manageable. And there's more than one way to take a vacation. Speaking of things to do in our time off, let's take a look at the schedule of things to do around the area coming up this week. On Monday, join fellow rock climbing enthusiasts for food and fun at the Central Rock Gym, featuring a new boulder set. Food, drink, music, and fun. This is the perfect opportunity to boulder with friends or introduce interested individuals to the climbing. Day passes are at centralrockgym.com/Syracuse at 600 North Franklin Street in Syracuse from 6 to 8 p.m. on Monday. Non-members are $25 for a day pass. Members are free. The Arc of Onondaga County will present a two-ingredient cooking workshop for children. Made for children with disabilities and their families, this four-day workshop focuses on empowering children by teaching them how to create a full meal. Each day focuses on a single component made through simple techniques from a maximum of two ingredients, and the last day showcases how to put all of these components together. OPWDD and FSS eligibility is required, and self-pay options are available for siblings and non-eligible children. This is at 600 South Wilbur Ave in Syracuse from 4 to 6, Monday through Thursday this week. Contact Sarah Clark at sarah.clark@arcon.org or 315-350-6078. On Tuesday, have a relaxing stroll after work to enjoy bird song and look for migrating wood warblers with a naturalist at Beaver Lake Nature Center. Binoculars are available for borrowing. 8477 East Mud Lake Road in Baldwinsville from 6 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, and it's free with a $5 per car admission. Explore nature at Beaver Lake Nature Center on Wednesday in a hike guided by a naturalist, but where the kids lead the way. Children are encouraged to learn with curiosity alongside fellow nature lovers. This event is meant for toddlers with an accompanying adult. Also at 8477 East Mud Lake Road in Baldwinsville from 11 to noon on Wednesday, and is free with your $5 per vehicle park admission. Cinderella, a Broadway-style production of the classic tale and ballet, features 40 international dancers performing Marina Kelsler's choreography. With hand-sewn costumes and handcrafted sets, the World Ballet Company's rendition of Cinderella is bound to be an entertaining night. At the On Center Krause Heinz Theater, tickets are at Ticketmaster. 421 Montgomery Street in Syracuse from 7 to 9 on Wednesday. Tickets range from $67 to $111. World-renowned trombonist and music educator Michael Davis will return to SUNY Oswego this Wednesday. Davis will play with the university's faculty jazz combo, Oswego Jazz Project. On Thursday, he will play with the student jazz ensemble. It is open to the public. Hewitt Union on Union Road in Oswego is where it's held, 7:30 Wednesday and Thursday night. The doors will open at 7. The admission is free, but donations to the Jazz Project are encouraged. Holy Cross Academy will hold a plant sale featuring hanging baskets and fresh flowers from a local grower. The fundraiser benefits the small independent Catholic Junior Senior High School in Oneida. You can pick up a Mother's Day gift or add some seasonal color to your home. Where on from Wednesday through Saturday at Sangertown Square in New Hartford, 10 through 7. On Saturday, it is 10 till 5 or until they're sold out. Other things to do around Central New York coming up this week. Syracuse Northeast Community Center will present a kitchen literacy project demo with guest chefs teaching basic techniques and how to make most of whatever's in your pantry. Participants will be provided with the chef's recipe and a box of ingredients to take home. Register in advance by contacting WRO Head Fox at snccssyracuse.org or call 315-416-8104. Walk-ins are also welcome. And that's at 717 North Salina Street in Syracuse from 3 to 7 on Thursday and is free. Grammy-nominated singer Ann Wilson is coming to Syracuse's Landmark Theater, featuring fan-favorite songs like Rain in the Rearview, Strong, Hey Girl, and My Jesus, as well as new music from her recently released album. This concert is for those looking for a compelling night of worship and song. Tickets are at Ticketmaster, 362 South Salina Street in Syracuse, from 7 to 11 on Thursday. Tickets range from $41 to $116. Syracuse Food Truck Association is presenting their sixth year of the annual Food Truck Battle at the Syracuse New York State Fairgrounds, along with performances by Quintec May Day Parade. Enjoy a full day of food, drink, and music, as well as plenty of vendors with the Artisan Village. Tickets are at syrfoodtrucks.com, 581 State Fair Boulevard in Syracuse from 4 to 10 Friday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday. So Friday's general admission is $10. The VIP is $30. Saturday's general admission is $15 with the VIP set at $35. You can join Bob Pete Gill, a local astronomy expert, for information about a meteor shower coming up at Beaver Lake Nature Center on Friday. Explore nighttime sky to discover constellations, star clusters, and galaxies far away. Tickets at tinyurl.com/Beaver Lake Stars. 8 to 10 p.m. on Friday, and the price is included with the park admission, $6 for members and $7 for non-members. Baldwinsville Theater Group will present 1776, the female version, a gender-swapped version of the musical 1776, which depicts the story of the Continental Congress. In this adaptation of the show, the story of the Founding Fathers and the debates of the Continental Congress are reimagined to highlight representation and power. Tickets at BaldwinsvilleTheaterGuild.org. 64 Oswego Street in Baldwinsville, 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and 3 p.m. on, 7 p.m. on Friday and 3 p.m. on Saturday. Oswego Valley Snowbelters Barbershop Chorus will present a celebration of animated classics in its concert at Oswego High School with Barbershop Ensemble's Northern Blend, For Heaven's Sake, and Roulette Bio 2024. Featuring fan favorites from beloved classics such as Aladdin's A Whole New World, audience members are welcome to come in Disney-themed attire to enjoy magical harmonies. Tickets at ovcsnowbelters.org/OVC Store. 2 Buccaneer Boulevard in Oswego, 2 p.m. on Saturday. Presale tickets for adults are $17. Seniors 55 and children 12 to 18 are $14, and children under 12 are free. Tickets at the door will cost $3 more. The Syracuse Orchestra will perform its grand finale Masterworks concert at the On Center Crowns Hind Theater with Julian Swartz performing Jennifer Higdon's Cello Concerto, a piece commissioned by Robert and Vicki Lieberman. The concert will conclude with Richard Strauss's Richard Strauss selection. Tickets at SyracuseOrchestra.org. 7:30 on Saturday. Adults are $24 to $98. Students are $5, and children under 18 are free. Celebrate Mother's Day by exploring treats, trinkets, and goodies made by local vendors at Salt City Market's annual open-air market, 484 South Saline Street in Syracuse, from 11 to 4 on Mother's Day, May 10th, and admission is free. And finally, Baltimore Woods Nature Center will host its annual Mother's Day Garden Tour fundraiser at the Sycamore Hills Gardens in Marcellus. The tour is self-guided. Attendees can stroll more than 40 acres of meticulously manicured lawns and paths at their own pace. Those with limited mobility can bring mobility scooters. Buy online tickets or see a list of places selling them in person by going to tinyurl.com/sycamoremothers/. The tickets are non-refundable. It's at 2130 Old Seneca Turnpike in Marcellus from 10 to 4 on Mother's Day, May 10th. General admission is $17. Children under 8 are free. From our CNY Inspirations column by Jeannie Prudy. As a single woman in her 30s, it's sometimes easy to feel as if you're the only one not being celebrated in your social circles, and as if societal standards haven't shifted with modern times. It's constant invites to baby showers, bridal showers, weddings, housewarming parties, and so on can be exciting, and it is exciting, but it can also feel isolating as you catch yourself wondering if people will celebrate you to the same extent when it's your time. Or what if I never hit societal time markers for celebration? What happens then? Conversation I've been having with God recently is, let my life be meaningful, even if it doesn't look like the timeline of how society says it should be. And so, what is my response? To create a life I find exciting no matter where society says I should be. Take those trips to visit loved ones. Create my own routines that ground me and bring peace to my nervous system. Do the therapy now, not later. Start and not finish many new hobbies. End relationships that no longer suit me, and be intentional with the ones that do. And when the moments come up in my life I wish someone would celebrate, I celebrate it myself, whether with others or on my own. Move into a new apartment? Celebrate it. Receive a promotion at work? Celebrate it. Pay off a student loan? celebrate it. Your birthday? Dress up and invite your safe people over to celebrate with you. I celebrate the big and small moments, not only in others' lives, but also in my own, and I mean genuinely celebrate. For the love you pour out to your community will come back to you later, even if it's not the way you thought it would look like. Jeannie Prouty is a community engagement manager for Interfaith Works of CNY. She has a background of 10 years of working for the community, and additionally, she has a degree in business administration and psychology and a master's in theology with a focus on the comparisons of the Abrahamic religions. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Post Standard on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. A big feature for this weekend's paper was the festival schedule for this year for the area by Katrina Tulloch. Some major festivals in the greater Syracuse area from now through August. There's some of the big ones that draw hundreds of thousands of people every summer. So get your calendar out and make it marked up. A food truck battle at the Chevy Court at the New York State Fairgrounds will happen May 8th and 9th. Battle of the Wings from May 15th to 16th at Syracuse's Inner Harbor. The Taste of Syracuse is June 5th and 6th in and around Clinton Square, downtown Syracuse. Oz Extravaganza is June 5th through the 7th, All Things Oz Museum at 219 West Genesee Street in Chittenango. The New York Blues Festival is June 11th through the 13th at the Chevy Court, the State Boulevard and Fairgrounds, and admission is free. You can light a candle for Literacy Parade and a Children's Book Festival on June 13th at the Beauchamp Library, 2111 South Salina Street in Syracuse, and McKinley Brighton Elementary School at 141 Newell Street in Syracuse. The St. Sophia Greek Cultural Festival is June 11th through the 14th at St. Sophia's, 325 Waring Road in DeWitt. The Syracuse Juneteenth Festival is June 18th through the 20th in Clinton Square in downtown Syracuse. The Polish Festival is June 12th through the 14th in Clinton Square in downtown Syracuse. CNY Parade and a Festival will be also June 13th at Progress Park in the Syracuse Inner Harbor. Navarino Strawberry Festival, June 13th through the 14th at 3655 Cherry Valley Turnpike in Syracuse. St. Patrick's St. Bridges Irish Festival, June 19th through the 20th on 216 Lowell Avenue in Syracuse. The Middle Eastern Cultural Festival, June 25th through the 28th at St. Elias Antiochian Orthodox Church, 4988 Onondaga Road in Syracuse. Syracuse Jazz Festival from July 9th through the 12th. It's July 9th, Syracuse University National Veterans and Resource Center, June 10th through the 11th at Beacon Skiff Apple Orchards on Lord's Road in Lafayette, and June 12th at the SU Hendricks Chapel in Syracuse. St. Mary's Egyptian Festival dates are to be announced at 106 North Church Street in North Syracuse. It typically takes place in July, but 2026 dates have not been announced. This is a free admission festival. More dates to take a look at. Oh my goodness, let's flip the page here. The Central New York Book Crawl from July 10th through the 19th at participating bookstores around Central New York. The Syracuse Nationals, July 16th through the 18th at the New York State Fairgrounds, the largest car show in New York, featuring vehicles from around the country, and that will kick off each day at 8 a.m. Harborfest, always in Oswego, July 23rd to the 26th. Syracuse Art and Crafts Festival, July 24th to the 26th at Columbus Circle and surrounding streets. Syracuse Ukrainian Festival, also that weekend, July 24th and 25th at 207 Tompkins Street in Syracuse. The Syracuse Puerto Rican Festival is July 25th at Sharky's Bar and Grill at 7240 Oswego Street in Liverpool. Skinny Atlas Festival is July 30th to August 22nd at multiple venues in Skinny Atlas. The Macedonian Festival, first weekend of August at 5083 Onondaga Road in Syracuse. The Taco and Margarita Festival, August 7th and 8th at the Inner Harbor in Syracuse. the CNY Scottish Games in August 8th at Long Branch Park, 3813 Long Branch Road in Liverpool. The Klez Fest, Syracuse Jewish Festival, August 16th at the JCC of Syracuse at 5655 Thompson Road in DeWitt. And last but not least, to wrap up the festival season, the New York State Fair, August 26th to September 7th at the New York State Fairgrounds. Festival season is upon us. So where else can you go to look for things to do besides festivals? Well, according to Sunny Hernandez, after closing for a year due to the owner's family commitments, the Greenville Drive-In has found some new operators. An upstate New York drive-in movie theater that once earned the nickname the world's most viewed screen, thanks to a Taylor Swift lyric video, is set to reopen this summer under new management. The Greenville Drive-In, also known as Drive-In 32, will reopen on May 15th, according to News 10. The theater, located in the northern foothills of the Catskills, did not open for the 2025 season because owners Dwight Grimm and Lee Vance Wall said ongoing out-of-state elder care commitments kept them away from daily operations. A couple has reached a lease agreement with Schenectady-based Scene One Entertainment to operate the 70-year-old facility. Grimm and Vance Wall took over the drive-in in 2015 after discovering the aging summer theater while searching for a place to make artisan vermouth near their weekend home in Preston Hollow. They met in New York City. Vance Wall, originally from Syracuse, worked in the fashion industry, and Grimm is a descendant of Winnetka-Harry County's founding families and has more than two decades of experience in film and video production. During their tenure, the pair modernized the drive-in with updated projection and audio technology and partnered with local farmers to offer locally sourced concessions. They also added a beer garden, serving local brews and craft cocktails. Drive-In 32 became a community gathering place as well, hosting Elvis nights, live music, car shows, and even a typewriter festival. The drive-in gained wider attention in 2023 after a staff member noticed its screen appeared in Swift's lyric video for This Is Me Trying. The video has more than 27 million views, leading Grimm to call it the world's most viewed drive-in screen. In a Facebook post, Grimm said Masher will build on the improvements already made at the theater and the beer garden will remain in operation. Scene One operates 9 theaters in 5 states, including the Spectrum in Albany, and also runs Huck Finn's Playland, a longtime Capital Region attraction. They are excited as Scene One's long-standing relationship with studios and distributors means the drive-in will see some improved programming. More information about the 2026 season is available at drivein32.com, the Greenville Drive-In Outdoor Cinema Facebook page, and Scene One's cinema website. Seneca Falls is on a historic small towns list, a charming upstate New York community packed with centuries of stories, has landed on the list of the best historical small towns in the nation. Seneca Falls ranked number 7 on USA Today's 2026 list of the best historic small towns. These rankings include communities with fewer than 25,000 residents. The Seneca County Hamlet is home to 9,027 residents, according to a 2020 census. USA Today highlighted Seneca Falls' 19th century architecture and the role in the women's rights movement. Visitors can explore the town's history of the National Women's Hall of Fame and Women's Rights National Historical Park, home to the Wesleyan Chapel where the nation's first Women's Rights Convention was held. The Hall of Fame celebrates both historical and contemporary women whose impact spans national and global achievements across a range of all fields. The 1848 Seneca Falls Convention was a regional event that launched a national fight for women's social, civil, and religious rights. Other landmarks include the home of Elizabeth Cady Stanton, the main organizer of the convention and primary author of the Declaration of Sentiments, as well as McClintock House, where the document was drafted. Seneca Falls draws visitors year-round with walkable streets, scenic Finger Lake views, a downtown filled with shops and restaurants and historic buildings. The town is also known for its holiday season festivities and often linked to the classic film It's a Wonderful Life. Along the Erie Canal near Cayuga Lake, Seneca Falls is a short drive from America's first wine trail, the Montezuma National Wildlife Refuge, and Waterloo Premium Outlets. So those of you who follow Facebook have probably seen the story about How Caverns. And now tickets there are limited to what is sure to be an unforgettable underground event. According to Sunny Hernandez, get ready to almost bear it all at a new underwear-only underground cave tour in upstate New York. Howe Caverns, located in Schoharie County, is hosting a one-of-a-kind underground tour on September 26th. Organizers describe the walk 150 feet below the Earth's surface as a leisurely stroll through a cave in your underwear. The idea started this year when the staff discovered a mysterious package of underwear left behind in the lodge. According to the Howe Caverns Facebook page, it was apparently abandoned after a large group left the cavern. The moment became so popular, it evolved into what the cavern is calling Pantygate 2026, complete with souvenir t-shirts and underwear commemorating the incident. Now, the popular attraction, which previously hosted fully nude tours called Naked in a Cave, is bringing the concept back with a slightly more covered-up twist. The underground tour is limited to 350 guests, making it an exclusive event for those willing to go where few have gone before in their skivvies. Tickets include more than just bragging rights and a barely dressed stroll through the cave. Guests will receive a complimentary drink, exclusive event logo sweatpants, an event tote bag, and a participation medal. Live entertainment will keep the energy going above and below ground, and visitors can then warm up with a cookie and hot drink station set up inside the cave. Add-ons include dinner before the tour or a stay at the motel. The event is open to guests 21 and older, and tickets are on sale now. Pre-tickets will cost $90 per person through June 1st, and after June 1st, tickets will be $95 per person. A portion of the tickets will go toward local charities, cave property manager William Gallup told the Times Union, although details have not been announced. And there is currently a donation box set up inside the lodge. Staff said Pantygate 2026 has inspired contributions to support homeless shelters, domestic violence shelters, and foster youth programs. These funds will help provide essential items and ensure basic needs are met for individuals and families facing vulnerable circumstances. If an underwear walk isn't in your wheelhouse, Howe Caverns also offers traditional cave tours and special events, including a lantern walk for Mother's Day. The caverns, where the underground temperature stays at steady 52 degrees year-round, are the largest open to the public in the Northeast and the second most popular natural attraction in New York State behind Niagara Falls. Other outdoor news, rattlesnakes love the Hudson Valley. The region is amongst the five rattlesnake dense spots in the East Coast, according to World Atlas. That's from Samantha House. The Hudson Valley has been ranked as one of the five most rattlesnake-infested areas on the Atlantic coast. The region made the World Atlas list along North Carolina's Croatan National Forest and Florida's Everglades National Park, both considered hotspots for eastern diamond rattlesnakes. Timber rattlers are among the 17 species that live in New York State, and they're the largest of New York's three venomous snakes and one of two rattlesnake species. The other is the eastern Massasauga. According to World Atlas, the most rattlesnake-dense section of the Hudson Valley lies between the Hudson Highlands north of Cold Springs on the eastern side of the Hudson River to Bear Mountain State Park and Storm King Mountain on the western side of the river. This is a core habitat for timber rattlers in the northern U.S., hosting what is likely the Northeast's most established population anywhere. The New York lists the timber rattler as a threatened species, but in the highlands, the numbers remain comparatively strong due to protected public land and restricted development along most of it. While the snakes are abundant in some parts of upstate New York, the state DEC said timber rattlers are considered threatened in New York State. In New York, timber rattlers generally live in the rugged areas of the Hudson Valley, Eastern Catskills, Adirondacks, and Southern Tier. They can be found in forests or curled up in the crevices of rock faces and rocky slopes. A timber rattler bite can be fatal if not treated, but no human deaths linked to wild rattlesnakes have been reported in New York State for decades, according to the DEC. Some nicer news from Outdoor Columns. Catskills venue is a top glamping spot. One of the best campgrounds in America for travelers seeking an upscale outdoor experience is in beautifully wild New York. It's Sun Retreats Birchwood Acres, a Catskills campground about 27 miles northwest of New Paltz, and it has been dubbed New York's top two campground for glamping, by CampSpot. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the weekend edition of the Post Standard, and your reader has been Donna. Thank you so much for listening.